It's done, right? And do I have sound here this morning?
No.
My mic is on. Well, what's going on? I got power here, so I don't know. But I may need a handheld. Can everybody hear me? Well, we praise God that as God's people, that, you know, the Christmas season goes on for eternity, right? We live in blessings, and we praise God for it. And so this is the first Sunday after Christmas, and we continue to focus on this season. Just a few announcements that I'd like to make, and it'll be better to have a mic.
Thank you. Oh, that's live, yeah. Now that I woke Kathy Weber up, I want to draw attention to the altar. Kathy, remember the presents were up on the altar, and now we know what those gifts were, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And of course, on Epiphany, as the Magi come to visit the Christ child in Bethlehem, they bring those gifts. But they're really beautifully displayed. And if you haven't had a chance to get up close and look at those before you leave today, you may just want to take that opportunity. Thank you, Kathy. Those are really beautiful. Tomorrow evening, 5 o'clock, will be our New Year's Eve service, and that will be with communion, so we hope you can come back and worship with us then. What a wonderful way to enter into the new year in preparation as we focus upon the reality that God is with us always. The unknowns of the new year are not unknown to God, and our lives are secure. So we celebrate that and hope that you can come and join us for worship 5 o'clock tomorrow evening. And we continue to reach out to Alvy Roth with our love and compassion as Alvy continues to grieve, as we do, the loss of his wife, Janet. And Janet's memorial service will be this Friday at 11:30, and there will be a luncheon that follows that. So 11:30 this coming Friday. Anybody have any other announcements this morning? Yes, Joyce. Oh yeah, Joyce, our envelope person. Do not use the new envelopes until after the first of the year, because the numbers on those can change at times. So, and that's a reminder, thanks Joyce, in the Narthex Lounge area to the right as you go out of the sanctuary, Joyce has all the offering envelopes for the new year sitting out there. So please remember to pick yours up before you leave today. Well, we gather here to worship, and page 184 is in the hymnals, setting 3 that we're following today. Otherwise, everything will be on the screen as well, and we begin with the opening hymn.
Thank you.
By God's grace, we're blessed to gather here again today in the name of the one true living Almighty God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And we just take a moment in silence for personal reflection and confession. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. And upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you, and in the place and by the authority of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our responsive psalm this morning is Psalm number 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart.
In the company of the upright, in the congregation.
Great are the works of the Lord.
Studied by all who delight in him.
Full of splendor and majesty is his work.
And his righteousness endures forever.
He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. He provides food for those who fear him.
He remembers his covenant forever.
He has shown his people the power of his works.
In giving them the inheritance of the nations.
The works of his hands are faithful and just.
All his precepts are trustworthy.
They are established forever and ever.
To be performed with faithfulness and uprightness.
He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever.
Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have good understanding.
His praise endures forever.
And we sing.
God the Father, all cast away the sin of the world. Receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And let us pray. Heavenly Father, your love knows no bounds, and so you sent your Son that we might be your children. Enliven our faith so that we may give the gift of your love to all whom we meet. Help us to love them, forgive them, and sing your praises with them through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated now. We'll continue with our scripture readings for today.
The Old Testament lesson for this first Sunday after Christmas comes from Exodus chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine." Then Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. For by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart the Lord. All the first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey, you shall redeem it with a lamb. Or if you will not redeem it, you will break its neck. Every firstborn of men among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, from the house of slavery.' For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson comes from the letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. "Put on then, as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And I would invite the congregation to stand now as we honor our holy gospel for this first Sunday after Christmas. That gospel comes to us from the Gospel of St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Our Lord Jesus is presented at the temple. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of the God was upon him. And this is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
At this time, then, we are honored to make confession of our most Christian, holy Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated now as we continue with our sermon hymn.
This is one of those days. I can yell, though. No, it's hand
free. There we go. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it just goes to prove, doesn't it? We don't live in a perfect world. And God bless our sound people. Thanks, Dan, for trying to resolve the issue this morning. And but you know, the really cool thing is that we can worship God without any technology. It still works. And we praise him for that. Well, this morning, I would imagine after Christmas and opening a lot of gifts probably that you received and gifts that you had given, did anybody get clothes for Christmas? If you got clothes, raise your hand. Oh, there's quite a few out there. It's kind of a common thing at Christmas, isn't it, that we receive some kind of clothing as a gift. And it's kind of interesting with clothing, it really kind of defines us a little bit, doesn't it? The type of clothing that we wear. And certainly there's a lot of interesting style changes that have occurred over the years as well. Remember back on the farm, you know, if you got holes in your jeans, patched them up, right? And then it came kind of to the point you just sort of got rid of them and you'd buy a new pair of jeans. But now, especially with women, the designer jeans, don't those things cost over $100 a pair and even more than that? And they have all kinds of holes in the jeans. They're designed into the jeans brand new. Who would have ever guessed? But clothing really defines a lot about who we are. If you see a police officer dressed in a police uniform, it's pretty evident what his career is. Or you think of uniforms like nurses, doctors, airline pilots, we could go right down the list. When you see that clothing, you can almost instantly tell something about the person that's wearing those clothes. Well, this morning, God reveals to us that we have received the gift of clothing from him. Isn't that cool? And in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, I'd like to reread this portion of the text. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And so the Lord gives this image of putting on things. And it's spiritual clothing. And these spiritual clothes, as they have just been described to us, are all gifts from God. And certainly this spiritual clothing defines who we are as God's people. Which begs the question this morning, and if you read through the whole chapter 3 of Colossians, that chapter begins about warning about things that we need to put off, clothes that we need to take off that God doesn't want to see us wearing. And those are things like hatred and discord and jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension. God says through the Apostle Paul, you must rid yourselves of all of these. And you know, when you think about this imagery, it's really easy for us to understand that, like our physical clothing that defines who we are, our spiritual clothing certainly also is very revealing as to who we are. And the question is, as we interrelate with one another here and out in the community, among our families, wherever we're around other people, what kind of clothing do people see us wearing? So do they see the fruit of the Spirit as you see described in Galatians chapter 6 and described here in Colossians again. All these wonderful things like compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, love. Is that what people see in your life that are very evident whenever they're in your presence? Or do they see things like hatred and discord and jealousy? And the list goes on. The deeds of the flesh, as God reveals them to us also in Galatians 6. You know, as Christians, we can fool people sometimes, or as human beings, we can put on those nice fronts, right? But we can never fool God, because God certainly sees below the surface of the clothing that we are wearing, and he knows what the true, authentic clothing is, and that is what's in our hearts. You know, there's a lot of impersonators, aren't there? There's people that impersonate professional people by just simply wearing the uniform to get people to think that they're really in that profession. And remember Frank Abagnale, who was very famous, a movie was made after him, Catch Me If You Can. Remember, he was all kinds of professional careers. And even as a teenager, he got doctor's clothes, he got lawyer's clothes, he even got a Pan Am Airlines pilot uniform and got in the cockpit. Wow. Fortunately, he wasn't trying to fly the airplane. But he impersonated a lot of people, and he was very successful at it. But eventually, he got caught. And you know, these words from our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 7, I don't know about you, but these always get my attention and really cause me to prayerfully consider my own heart and where I'm at in my own walk in faith. But Jesus says, and it's in the Sermon on the Mount, it's in Matthew 7, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Wow. On the surface, the clothing looks really good, right? Performing miracles, casting out demons. And yet, faith was not there in the heart. God always goes to the heart. God always sees everything. We cannot impersonate being a child of God with God, because he always knows. May fool many others. And so it's really important for us always to take time to really evaluate ourselves. And we do that really as we come into worship virtually every morning here as we worship together in confession and absolution. It's a time to come clean with God and with each other and say, "God, you know, I'm a sinner and I have failed horribly. You know, I've been in those places of almost impersonating when my faith has been so weak." But the good news is God's love and his forgiveness is genuine. And the good news is the waters of baptism, because what happened to you and me when we were baptized? We received clothing, right? In Galatians chapter 4, we hear that that we have been clothed with Christ. Paul writes, "All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." And so we have received that incredible gift, the most precious clothing that we could ever wear. And what is this clothing? But it's Jesus' righteousness. It is his perfectness, his holiness. And even though our garments are stained and soiled and very ugly due to our sin, The Lord gives us this clothing to cover all of that. And when God looks upon you and me as his children of faith, he sees his son's perfect clothing. What an incredible gift. We couldn't receive a greater gift of clothing than this one. And all made possible again by the manger scene that we see before us. What a picture of the gospel. The virgin birth, that Jesus, God becoming true man in the person of Jesus Christ. First of all, what had to be broken was that chain of original sin. And Jesus being born of a virgin was not conceived by man, but by God. And he was conceived perfectly. No original sin. He was born pure and holy. And never once did Jesus fall into sin. He didn't impersonate being the Son of God. He was and is the perfect, obedient Son of God. Never sinned once. And as the beam of the cross comes through the manger, we know that Jesus came to pay the punishment, to receive all of God's wrath in our place, that our sin could truly be forgiven, that burden could be lifted away from us, and most of all, the burden of eternal condemnation. And we are set free, and we have the clothing to prove it. Isn't it wonderful that when, especially in those times when we're kind of weak in faith, and maybe Satan's trying to weasel in our sinful flesh, and we begin to really doubt and wonder, does God really love me? You know, am I one of those people that Jesus speaks of in the Sermon on the Mount? Am I outside of faith? And what does God direct us to? The clothing, to our baptism. Remember that I called you by name, God says. Remember, I gave you my perfect clothing, and you've still got that clothing. Yeah, you're pretty soiled and dirty underneath, but you have my clothing. And God says, I love you, you're forgiven. Wow. What a gift that the Lord has provided for us and given to us, received personally through faith. And this clothing, as clothing does define who we are, this clothing changes the definition of who you and I are. And this clothing changes our whole demeanor. Gradually, underneath this perfect clothing within, things begin to change in the way that God desires. And this is our life of sanctification. It's our journey of growing and maturing in this incredible faith. I always remember my first call, and there was a neighboring pastor in our circuit. And whenever I went to one of his worship services, he'd always welcome everyone in the morning. And then he would always say, Jesus changes things. He would always say that and I love that. Jesus changes things. Even though the secular world has just written off Christmas for another year, and we're back to whatever normal is, and Christmas is long forgotten already, not for you and me as God's children. Because we continue to live in the blessings of the gift given, and it always draws our attention back to God becoming man, the way that God chose to do this incredible thing. And then we hear these words, put on then, put on then. So in light of God loving you and me, in light of God totally changing our lives, in light of God giving us this clothing, the Lord says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, and most of all, put on love, which binds all these things together. Wow. This is the clothing you and I wear, a compassionate heart. And what is that but showing sympathy and empathy and care to those around us? It's a heart of kindness, which is really a heart that is very warm and very gentle, and it's one of care and concern. It's a heart of humility, and a humble heart is one that's unassertive, that's very approachable, that's very respectful. It's a heart of meekness, which means to be quiet and gentle and yielding. It's a heart of patience. And boy, do we need that today, right? We can accept delays as God's people, and we can praise God for the delays, acknowledging that He has a purpose in them. It's having an uncomplaining spirit. And wow, the power of forgiveness. As the Lord has forgiven you and me, think about how God has done that. We pray it in the Lord's Prayer all the time. That we then would forgive one another, and that we're actually empowered to do that. Because we have this clothing. It's a gift the Lord has provided. And with love, it brings all these things together. It holds them together. It's the motivation. You know, people can do semblance of these things, impersonate a lot of these things, but it's only out of the motivation of love that they are genuine as God has desired them to be used and the purpose for which He has given them, to love. What a gift. Well, God puts you and me in the honorable position of actually changing things. So Jesus changes things. He's changed our lives. But have you ever thought about the empowerment the Lord provides to you and me in the clothing given, that we can change the lives of other people? And by that, God working through us, of course, we can't do it. But it's the clothing. Think about how quickly a Christian can diffuse a situation that's getting very heated. And you can step in with patience and kindness and compassion and totally change the atmosphere of the room in an instant. And that's what we are called to do. And it's not just a calling, it's a great honor that the Lord bestows upon us. And you know, the neat thing about this clothing is it's clothing to be given away. It's a gift that God gives that keeps on giving. And we are called to share this with as many people as we can. Did you hear it in Exodus this morning, chapter 13? And when in time to come your sons ask you, "What does this mean?" you shall say to them, "By a strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery." Isn't it wonderful when our kids ask us about God? They ask us about worship. They ask us about the faith that we walk together in. And the greatest gift we can give to our kids is simply to share with them the truth that we are blessed to know and to live, that they may grow and mature in this faith as well. That we can go beyond our family, though, like Anna in the New Testament reading, or the Gospel reading this morning, where we hear that she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. I love that. She gave thanks to God and she spoke of Him to all who are waiting for the redemption. What a blessed way to approach each day with the goal of giving thanks to God, and when the opportunities arise, to share the good news of His love. And so, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may the clothing God has given to you and me reveal so clearly who we are. And may we then be so willing to share God's clothing, this gift, with as many as we can. And you know, the really neat thing about this clothing is it can be a hand-me-down. But it's not a worn out hand-me-down. It's always new. And guess what? It never goes out of style. Never goes out of style for eternity. May God bless you and me, brothers and sisters in Christ, as we faithfully wear the clothing given and as we use every opportunity to share. Jesus indeed changes things. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And I would invite the congregation to stand at this moment as we sing the offertory together. You to bring, I left a prayer request, I think, on the pew. But let us turn to God in prayer again this morning. Oh, dear Lord God, we just thank and praise you for the blessings given. Lord, our hearts are saddened by the majority of people that celebrate Christmas that celebrated only in a secular way. There's no mention of you. There's no celebration of your birth. It's just one of those holidays that is celebrated throughout the year. And many people going into great debt and buying gifts, and then reality hits about now, and it's like, what have we done? And it's back to the darkness of life on this earth. Lord, we thank you that you have called us out of the darkness. We thank you for the new life given. But Lord, may we be sensitive to those who have not received the clothing that you so much desire for them to have. Jesus, by your death and resurrection, you have offered this clothing to the entire world. The gift is there, but most refuse it. Lord, we pray that as you work through us, your precious people, that as they see the genuineness of the clothing we wear, that they would desire to hear more about where this gift has come from. Lord, may we use every opportunity you provide to share the good news of your love with a world that lives in darkness. Lord, may they too come to the light that we so much enjoy. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you know many who go through severe trials, and there's many perhaps that weigh heavy on our hearts and minds this morning. And Lord, certainly all the names that are listed in the bulletin, you know each and every one of these, your precious people. Lord, for all those who suffer in any way, we pray your blessings of comfort and healing, and most of all, peace in knowing how greatly they are loved, how greatly we are loved by you. Lord, continue to be with them and uphold them. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for Alvy and all of his family and for our church family and friends as we grieve the loss of our loved one, Janet. Lord, we rejoice that Janet was able to celebrate Christmas with you in heaven. What an incredible celebration that must continue to be. But Lord, be with Albie and all of us and this family in this time of grief, and uphold us and encourage us. And in the face of death, may we see ever so clearly the victory of life that you have won for us. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for this coming new year in the midst of all the unknowns to us. You know everything, Lord, and give us that peace and that absolute security in knowing that our lives are safe with you, even in the midst of the unknowns. Lord, we look with anticipation to the opportunities you will provide for us to serve. We pray safety for all those who celebrate over New Year's Eve. And Lord, for those who travel, Lord, we just pray that you would surround them with your blessings of protection. Oh, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the bountiful snowpack that we have received in Colorado and the mountains. But Lord, you know how dry it is out here on the plains. And we pray, Lord, that you would provide usable moisture to us very soon. Lord, we recognize that you are the giver of all things. And we come to you with confidence seeking these things. Lord, in these things and all matters, we ask your will and purpose to be accomplished among us individually and collectively within your church. In your name, Jesus, we pray and give thanks and praise. Amen. You may be seated and we continue with the offering. And if you are able, I invite the congregation to stand. And the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, You have given us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, after he had supped, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Jesus Christ, which was shed for us, you and I, to try to forgive us of all of our sins and glory.
let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Has a very blessed new year. Go in peace.
Thank you.
Lord.